Leaving while pregnant, he goes crazy. Chapter 91. Does it hurt? Eva remained silent. Emily sighed when she realized that Eva hadn't responded for a long time. I know you have a bias feeling towards her because she has helped you. That has confined you within this mindset. But think about it, she had motives even for helping you. Although, yes, she did help you and we should repay that favor when the opportunity arises, but let's be honest, just because she helped you in the past doesn't mean she won't harm you now. I understand, Eva nodded. Emily noticed her low spirits and suggested, why don't you come over to my place tonight? I can keep you company and we can talk all night. I can even take the day off tomorrow. No need, Eva shook her head gently. My grandmother is still at home, I can't not go back. Moreover, what happened tonight had made Eva even more cleary-eyed. Despite hearing John's words, she still had a sliver of hope, which has now been shattered completely. Whose is at fault? She blamed herself for foolishly nurturing impossible hopes. All right, then go back quickly. Don't sit outside the hotel anymore. It's so windy and the sound of the wind hurts my ears. Aren't you feeling the cold? Eva couldn't help but smile at her best friend's thoughtfulness and replied softly, All right, I got it. I'll go back. After Eva hung up the phone, she didn't leave immediately. She closed her eyes and felt the cold breeze of the night. It had really cooled down. Yesterday, the weather forecast had predicted a significant drop in temperature, with a cold front approaching, warning everyone to keep warm. When she went out in the evening, she hadn't felt the cold air yet. But now, she truly and tangibly felt it. Eva sniffed. It was so cold. Suddenly, it seemed like someone sat down next to her. A warm coat was draped over Eva's shoulders, and the scent of tobacco lingered on his breath. Eva opened her eyes. Does it hurt? Michael's mellow voice came from beside her. He reached out to touch the wound on Eva's cheek, but just as his fingertips grazed her skin, she reflexively moved to the side, avoiding his touch. Michael's fingertips froze in the air. That wound was caused by Julia scratching her hair, her nails breaking the skin and leaving a long trail of blood that reached up to her hairline. Earlier, it had been concealed by her disheveled hair. Now that her hair was tucked behind her ear, the wound was exposed. Because of the strong wind, Eva hadn't felt the pain in the wound. It was only after Michael mentioned it that she realized she had a wound on her face too. I'm fine, she said. Only then did Michael retract his hand and looked at her somewhat helplessly. Why didn't you explain? Is it necessary? Eva's expression remained indifferent. The person he holds dear, if I told him that she hurt me, would he believe me? Upon hearing this, Michael couldn't help but smile and say, You're right. He has always valued Vivian since they were young. It's best not to explain. After saying that, he couldn't help but reach out and rub the back of her head. Let's go, we haven't eaten anything tonight. Let me treat you to a late-night snack. Eva noticed that Michael was different from when he was a child, and he didn't speak in such a subservient manner anymore. Vivian may have someone to care for her, but don't forget that you also have me. We grew up together as well. Indeed, Michael and Eva did grow up together, but they met later in life. Eva had already known Adrian for many years by the time she met Michael, and she secretly had feelings for him. So, from then on, she considered everyone else as just friends. What are you daydreaming about? Michael urged. Get up, aren't you cold sitting here? Only now did Eva come back to her senses. She pursed her lips and said, Let's forget about the late night snack, I'm not hungry, and the farewell party turned out like this, don't you think I'm upset? Can't you consider it as compensation for me? With that said, Eva did feel a little guilty. Tonight was originally meant to welcome him back, but because of her and Vivian's incident, everyone ended up dispersing unhappily. Although, She didn't start the incident on her own, she did have some responsibility. After considering it for a moment, Eva nodded. All right. Michael curled his lips and asked, "What do you feel like eating?" 20 minutes later. The two of them were sitting in a seafood restaurant. It wasn't very crowded for a late night snack at this time, so the restaurant was empty. Eva chose a seat by the window and as she turned around, she noticed Michael standing there, looking somewhat lost. Only then did Eva realize something and said, "I forgot, you've been abroad all this time, are you not used to eating this? Or do you want to take a look and decide what you want?" Upon hearing this, Michael snapped out of his thoughts and smiled as he pushed up his glasses. "It's not that I'm not used to it, I'm just used to Western cuisine from abroad, so seeing Chinese dishes suddenly feels warm." While talking, Michael pulled up a chair in front of Eva and sat down. Eva didn't know if what he said was true or not, but it was clear that his response was classy and gentlemanly. The waiter came over to take their order after they sat down. Eva had originally wanted to order seafood congee, but when she looked at the pictures, she became worried that she might feel nauseous upon smelling the fishy smell, so in the end, she only ordered a small corn and vegetable congee. After taking their orders, the waiter left. Michael took out his own tissue, wiped the chopsticks clean for her, and handed them to her naturally, while saying, "Why do you like congee so much?" Upon hearing this, Eva paused and couldn't help but look up at Michael. Thinking of something, Eva asked, "Is that car yours?" Michael smiled and nodded. "Yes." Eva suddenly realized that the gaze she felt when she went downstairs to buy 8 treasures congee that day was him. No wonder she always felt like someone was watching her back then. "I thought it was just my imagination." Michael laughed. "What imagination? Can you feel realistically, what you feel is pretty much true." This sentence made Eva pause and look at Michael with astonishment, feeling that he had something else to say. After thinking for a moment, she changed the topic. "What about your car? And why don't you get out of the car? It's creepy just sitting there and staring at people, you know." "I guess I wanted to surprise you," Michael smiled and sighed. "I heard you were working with the Blackwood family, so I came straight here after getting off the plane hoping to try my luck and see if I could run into you during your off hours." At this point, he paused and smirked. "I've been lucky, Eva. It's not easy to see you after 5 years, but luckily I'm going to settle down in the country from now on, so we can see each other every day." Upon hearing this, Eva couldn't help but raise her eyes again, and just happened to see the gray tie clip, the tie clip that Eva had given him. To be precise, it was Michael who forced her to spend money on it all those years ago, calling it his birthday gift because it was his birthday, so Eva couldn't refuse. Just didn't expect that after so many years, he still wore that tie clip. Chapter 92. Why didn't you wait for me? Upon reflection, Eva shifted her gaze away from Michael's stare and calmly asked, "Are you planning on staying in the country for the long term?" "Well, I should have everything settled in about 2 weeks." At this point, Eva responded, "Then I congratulate you in advance for your return to the country. However, I will probably be very busy with work and won't have much spare time." How could Michael not understand Eva's avoidance and refusal in her words? However, he was no longer the impulsive young man he was in the past. He was now an adult man who naturally understood that some things couldn't be rushed. After so many years, he had already prepared for a long-term battle, much like boiling a frog in warm water. He wouldn't be impatient, nor would he shy away because of her polite rejection. "It's all right, we can get together when you have free time. Don't forget about this old friend just because so many years have passed." This response puzzled Eva. Did she misunderstand? Quickly, Eva reasoned with herself. It was not impossible that Michael had already found a girlfriend during his 5 years abroad. As for why he still kept this tie clip, it was probably just a memento of an old acquaintance, which was normal. Just like the gifts her friends had given her in the past, she still kept them because they were special friends, right? After coming to this realization, Eva's mood relaxed a lot, and she became less guarded towards Michael. All right then. They ate their supper together, but Eva didn't have much of an appetite. She found the vegetable porridge to be bland and tasteless, so she ate very little. Michael, on the other hand, probably because he had just returned to the country, also didn't eat much of what he ordered. When it was time to pay, Eva quickly scanned the QR code. Michael watched on and smiled helplessly. Is this compensation for the failed farewell party? Yeah, since the farewell party was a mess, I can't let you pay for a bowl of porridge, right? After a brief moment of silence, Michael said, if that's the case, it seems like I'm at a loss. After leaving the restaurant, Eva couldn't help but laugh and said, yeah, you lost a bit. We should have a big meal together sometime. Yeah, I'll remember that. I owe you one. As they got into the car, Eva remembered the incident at the entrance of the company and asked, when you went to the company yesterday, you weren't in this car, right? Yeah. Michael nodded and had already gone around to open the passenger door for her. That car belongs to a relative. Eva thanked him and got in. The journey back would take nearly 30 minutes. Initially, Eva thought that they wouldn't have much to talk about, but Michael turned out to be more talkative than she had imagined. How is Uncle Shen now? I heard he later went abroad to develop his career. Yeah, my father said that industry had better prospects overseas, so he wanted to give it a try. When I found out about your situation, it was a little late, otherwise I wouldn't have stood by and done nothing. I'm sorry. Upon hearing his apology, Eva was quite surprised. Even if he didn't help her, it wouldn't have mattered. It's okay, anyway, everything has been resolved. Michael sighed, sounding somewhat self-blaming, it does matter to me though. My friend was in trouble, and I didn't hear a whisper or offer any help. In fact, even though he had left to go abroad years ago, he knew everything about Eva's family situation, including her personal actions, because he had planted informants in the country who would inform him immediately if anything happened to Eva. But by the time he found out about the Hansen family's bankruptcy, Adrian had already sorted everything out for her. Because his so-called good sister at the time was worried that this matter would affect his studies, she didn't let the informant tell him anything and kept it tightly sealed. It was only when he felt that something wasn't right and probed further, did he discover the magnitude of the situation. Originally, the little girl had liked Adrian, and he was just a step behind. But unexpectedly, he was still a step behind in helping her with this matter. In any case, if you need any help in the future, just ask. This time, he wouldn't be like before, nor would he let go. The car smoothly stopped at the front gate of the villa. Eva unbuckled her seat belt. Thank you for driving me back, I'll go in first. Take care and drive safely. Michael nodded at her, okay, rest early. Then he watched as the person in the passenger seat left and walked towards the gate. When she turned back and waved at him, signaling for him to leave, he smiled and nodded, then watched her enter. As soon as the slender figure disappeared from his sight, the smile on Michael's lips vanished instantly. His phone rang, he glanced at it and found that it was a call from his so-called sister. Coldly sneering, he directly ignored it and drove away. After Eva returned, she found Granny Blackwood had already gone to sleep. Perhaps it was because she had gone out with Adrian in the evening, so the elderly woman was very at ease and rested early. Eva breathed a sigh of relief, still worried about how she would explain to Granny Blackwood if she came back alone. It was good that she had gone to bed early. How is Granny Blackwood's condition lately? She chatted with the butler for a while, preparing to go upstairs. However, as she was about to go up, she found Adrian standing at the staircase, arms crossed, and a cold, icy gaze fixed on her. Eva paused, a flicker of surprise passing through her eyes. Why was he at home? Wasn't he supposed to be at the hospital this time, with Vivian? Adrian lowered his dark gaze, his aura as chilling as ice in a winter's moon. Where did you go? Why didn't you answer my call? You called me. Eva took out her phone from her bag, pressed it twice, but nothing happened, so she could only shrug helplessly. It ran out of battery. As soon as she finished speaking, Adrian took the phone from her and checked it, a motion that caused a self-mocking curl to appear at the corner of Eva's lips. He didn't trust her. He didn't even trust her when she said her phone ran out of battery. And he still needed her to explain to him. After confirming that her phone was indeed out of battery and not intentionally ignoring his call, Adrian's expression improved slightly. However, he didn't return her phone to her, instead raising his gaze and locking his eyes tightly onto her. Where were you? Why didn't you wait for me? After Adrian finished dealing with Vivian's situation and went back to look for her, he discovered that Eva had already left. Adrian thought she went home, but he didn't see anyone there either. In comparison to him, Eva's reaction was much calmer. Oh, I thought you would stay at the hospital to take care of Vivian. Upon mentioning Vivian's name, a hint of unease flashed across Adrian's face as he said, "The assistant is there." Oh. Eva nodded, "That's good, I'll go upstairs first." After speaking, she prepared to pass Adrian and head upstairs, but her wrist was grabbed by him. Adrian furrowed his brow, "Don't you have anything to explain?" Chapter 93. Speak without thinking. Adrian was about to say something, which should have been followed by, "I saw you coming back in Michael's car." But as the words reached his lips, he didn't say it. Perhaps, she would explain herself, after all, she had been dropped off at the gate. However, when Eva heard this, she thought he was going to talk about Vivian's injuries. She was certain she hadn't pushed Vivian, but would he believe it if she said it out loud? He probably would only believe his Vivian, right? Thinking of this, Eva looked at him and responded with a question, "What did she tell you?" "What?" Adrian didn't respond immediately because his attention was still focused on the fact that she had been brought back by Michael. After a moment, he realized what Eva was asking. "You're talking about Vivian." "Vivian," he said her so affectionately. Eva smiled and replied, "Yes, she got injured, right? I said she fell herself, do you believe me?" After speaking, Eva didn't wait for his response and remained calm. In her beautiful eyes, there seemed to be a hint of mockery. It was as if she was saying, "Although I am explaining, I know you won't believe my explanation, and I don't care if you believe it or not." This appearance made Adrian furrow his brows uncomfortably. She really had changed a lot. "Sure enough." Eva raised an eyebrow and said, "If you don't believe it, then forget it, I was just saying it casually." After a moment of silence, Adrian said, "I know." Eva asked, confused, "What?" Adrian stared at her, his eyes as dark as the night. "Her friend caused trouble for you and she couldn't stop it or take your side." Upon hearing this, Eva's calm expression was shaken, and she looked up at him in disbelief. When she finally spoke, Eva realized her voice was trembling, "So, you've known all along that she fell herself, but you still covered up for her and blamed me, right? How laughable." In all the time she had been married to him, Eva had never felt as ridiculous as she did now, like a clown. It turned out that even if she didn't do certain things herself, as long as someone else needed her to do it, then it became her responsibility. What was even more laughable was that she had actually listened to John and tried to see things from his perspective. In Adrian's eyes, she must be a complete idiot. Feeling that something was off with her emotions, Adrian felt an emptiness in his heart, as if something was about to be lost. In her desperate gaze, he firmly held onto her hand. "It's like this, her injuries are quite serious right now. The doctor says there might be scarring. We just have to keep her calm for now. Serious injuries. Scarring. Perhaps provoked by Adrian's words, Eva also spoke without thinking, even if she dies, what does that have to do with me, Adrian? As the words fell, Eva forcefully pulled her hand away from his grasp and looked at him mockingly. If you want to comfort her, go to the hospital. Don't stand in front of me, and don't try to put anything on my head. When she finished speaking, she stopped wasting time with him and quickly went upstairs. Adrian stood still, feeling a pounding sensation in his temples from her words. Without thinking much, he turned around and followed her upstairs. After Eva went upstairs, she entered the bathroom to wash her face and calm down. Unexpectedly, as soon as she entered the bathroom, Adrian followed her in. Smelling the mixed scent on him and remembering the nonsense he had just spoken, Eva felt unsettled and glared at him, turning her head. "You go out," she said. Adrian squeezed in front of her and spoke in a cold voice, "Calm down and listen to my explanation." "Explanation?" Eva sneered, "You mean you want to deceive me?" "I don't want to hear it. Leave now, I want to take a shower. I know you feel wronged about what happened tonight. I promise you that I will." "Are you leaving or not?" Eva grabbed a bottle of shower gel and threw it at him. "Get out." Adrian, who had intended to explain, stood still. It was the first time that Eva had said such harsh words to him. Adrian stood in place, looking at her with a grim expression on his face, his lips showing his emotions. Eva stood there coldly, showing an expression that she did not want to see him again. After a moment of silence, Adrian finally turned around with a dark face and walked out. After he left, Eva's shoulders felt weak, almost causing her to fall. She reached out and supported herself against the wall, then slowly sat down, closing her eyes. Her anger had doubled at Adrian's words, causing her to feel a bit dizzy now, and she also felt a bit nauseous. Nauseous. Eva suddenly opened her eyes as if she had thought of something. Oh no, her fluctuating emotions might affect the baby in her stomach. And she realized that she had been increasingly unable to control her temper lately. Every time she tried to calm down, she would always lose control because of something. What was happening to her? Eva gently touched her stomach, saying, "Baby, did mommy scare you? Don't be afraid, mommy will control her emotions next time." However, she still felt a bit dizzy and uncomfortable, probably due to the excessive emotional fluctuations. The floor of the bathroom was too cold, so Eva could only endure the dizziness and support herself against the wall, then sit on the sofa outside until she felt better enough to get up and continue washing up. After finishing, Eva looked in the mirror and found several broken blood vessels in her eyes. It seemed that she had really gotten angry today. She couldn't do this again next time. Eva quickly adjusted her mindset and went to sleep. In hospital, Vivian, stop crying. If you keep on crying, your eyes will get puffy. Ever since the doctor informed her that the scars on her forehead needed stitches and would leave a scar, Vivian couldn't control her emotions, and tears kept flowing. She buried her face in her arms, filled with regret. If she had known that it would leave a scar, she wouldn't have done it. She had only intended to lightly hit herself, but she didn't expect there to be steps next to her, and when she fell, her forehead hit the steps. At that moment, a sharp pain almost overwhelmed Vivian's whole body, causing her to almost faint. It wasn't until she saw the blood that she realized what had happened. Now, she attributed all her hatred towards Eva. How could she have done such a thing? If it wasn't for her, her forehead wouldn't be injured. Just the thought of having ugly scars on her once smooth and beautiful forehead was completely unacceptable for Vivian, infuriating her to the point where she grabbed something from the table and angrily threw it to the ground. The people beside her who were trying to comfort her were startled. "Ah, Vivian." After everyone reacted, they hurriedly stepped forward and held her down. "You can't get agitated, otherwise your wound might open again later." Vivian couldn't take in what they were saying. Anyway, Adrian wasn't here, so if she didn't vent her anger now, when would she? And what made her even more angry was that Adrian left after bringing her to the hospital. She didn't need to think about where he went. Eva. Chapter 94. Don't want to do it? Then get lost. The more Vivian thought about this matter, the stronger the hatred grew in her heart. She ignored everyone's attempts to stop her and erupted in anger. After finishing work, Lee, Adrian's assistant who had to take a phone call, stood at the door silently watching the people inside getting angry and smashing things. He crossed his arms and leaned against the wall, helplessly shaking his head at the scene. Indeed, the kindness on the surface was just a facade. Although Vivian's forehead was injured like this, and the doctor said it would leave a scar, Lee couldn't help but feel sorry for her. After all, disfigurement like this would be a huge blow to a woman. However, whenever Lee thought about the fact that Mrs. Blackwood was already pregnant, he suddenly didn't feel any sympathy for Vivian. And her friends, who kept telling Mr. Blackwood that it was Eva who pushed Vivian, resulting in her getting injured like this. Listening to this, he felt particularly angry. Eva was even ready to bear the burden of her pregnancy alone, how could she possibly push someone else? Even if she did push Vivian, there must be a reason for it. Lee's biased scale of judgment leaned towards Eva, so he naturally didn't like Vivian and her friends. While he was pondering, Vivian's friend suddenly glanced over at him. "Hey, you there, where's your Mr. Blackwood? Hurry up and call Mr. Blackwood." The way she addressed him and her tone made Lee frown uncomfortably. "What are you still standing there for? Mr. Blackwood told you to come and help, but instead, you've been standing there the whole time. Are you part of the furniture?" The person speaking was Julia, who had a bad temper. Originally, she was angry because she had been kicked out of the private room by Adrian. However, after seeing Vivian getting injured like this, she put all her own affairs aside. Compared to the injury on Vivian's face, her own matters were trivial. After hearing Julia's words, a dark expression appeared on Lee's face. "What did you say? Did I say something wrong? Do you want me to say it again?" Lee sneered. He already despised this group of women, so he decided not to stay here any longer. Thinking of this, Lee turned around with a cold look in his eyes and left. "Hey, where are you going? Stop, stop, I'm talking to you." However, no matter how much Julia shouted, Lee seemed to ignore her words and left on his own. After he left, Julia cursed in disbelief, "Is this person crazy? Mr. Blackwood clearly asked him to come and help, but instead of doing that, he just stood there, and now he's just leaving? Vivian, do you think Adrian has really been seduced by that woman, Eva? Now even his subordinates are treating you like this." Vivian, who had been angry, listened to these words and became speechless. Suddenly calming down, she turned her head to look at Julia. "What did you say?" Because of crying and anger, her eyes are still red. Julia was shocked by her gaze and took a moment to react. "Ah, was I wrong? That person just now, I asked him to call Adrian, but he not only ignored me but also left." Upon hearing this, Vivian remembered that Adrian had asked the assistant to come before leaving. But because Adrian was not around, she didn't care about this person at all and momentarily forgot that he was still here, so she got angry just now. Now reminded by Julia, Vivian realized what she had done. Would that assistant say bad things about her to Adrian behind her back? Thinking of this, Vivian's face changed. "Where is he? Stop him quickly." Vivian stared at Julia displeased, "Why are you speaking nonsense? Since Adrian called him over, he is someone from Adrian's side. If you are so impolite to him now, what if he speaks ill of me in front of Adrian? Julia stood still. She did not expect that Vivian would blame her. I just saw you crying and sad, and your emotions were off, so I thought of asking him to call Adrian. Vivian, however, didn't have the mindset to listen to Julia's explanation anymore. The current situation was already unfavorable for her, so she had planned to just get a small injury and divert all of Adrian's attention to herself. But who knew that a small injury would turn into a serious one? She had played it out. It's one thing to play it out, but the key issue is that she got injured so severely and Adrian actually took the time to leave at this moment. This is what Vivian fears the most. If she becomes disfigured and Adrian doesn't want her anymore, how can this be? Vivian felt panicked, and at this moment, she could only give orders, no matter what method you use, go and bring him back quickly. Apologize and make amends if necessary. Seeing everyone still standing, Vivian's tone became stern. Hurry up. Only then did everyone react and turn to leave the ward. The assistant was about to leave and bumped into Adrian when he arrived downstairs. His face didn't look good, but he still walked up and greeted him. Mr. Blackwood. Seeing his pale face and sensing some emotion in his greeting, Adrian furrowed his brow slightly. Where are you going? Weren't you supposed to have stayed here? The assistant immediately perked up upon hearing this. Yes, Mr. Blackwood, but I am not needed here, so I came down. Adrian. Narrowing his long eyes, Adrian scrutinized the assistant in front of him. These past few days, he had been feeling strange. In the past, he would never have responded like this. He would speak to him with extreme caution, but these days, his tone has been confrontational, and he often stares at him with strange eyes. This is definitely not his normal attitude. I let you guard, did I let you leave? Adrian's eyes turned cold, and there was a hint of chill in his voice. The indifference in his voice made the assistant shiver unconsciously. He even moved his neck backwards, afraid that Adrian would snap at him. But even with the subconscious reaction, the assistant still remained stubborn. You didn't make me leave, but those women did. They didn't need me. So, do they pay your salary? Mentioning salary, the assistant felt a bit intimidated, and fell silent. Adrian stared at him displeased. What's been going on with you lately? The assistant shook his head. Nothing, Mr. Blackwood, there's nothing going on. After speaking, he felt disgusted inwardly. It's all because you're a scumbag. Your own wife is pregnant, but instead of staying by her side, you run to the hospital to manage other women. Heh, heh, heh. Unconsciously, the assistant had written all his inner thoughts on his face. Adrian. He couldn't ask, but it was always the same. His expression turned serious, and he sneered, if you don't want to work, then get lost. Don't keep wearing that sour face in front of me all the time. Chapter 95. What's wrong with your injury? After saying this, Adrian walked calmly towards the upstairs of the hospital. Upon hearing Vivian's words and preparing to go downstairs to find Assistant Brent, Julia saw Adrian coming back and stopped. Mr. Blackwood, Vivian. However, before she could finish her words, Adrian walked past without looking at them. At this moment, Adrian's mood was extremely bad because of his argument with Eva, and his face was also gloomy. Several girls could clearly feel the chill emanating from him, and stood frozen in place, not daring to approach him or say anything. But Adrian suddenly seemed to sense something, paused for a moment, and turned his head to look at the group. Why are you still here? Julia and everyone stood together, but Julia suddenly felt an icy gaze on top of her head. When she raised her head, she met Adrian's dangerous and fierce gaze, which startled her and she didn't know how to explain. Adrian. Just at that moment, Vivian's voice came from not far away. Everyone looked towards the voice and saw Vivian running over barefoot, her face anxious. Although the distance was not close, The blood seeping through the bandage on her forehead still looked shocking on her pale face. "Vivian, why did you come down? The doctor said you can't move." Vivian's other sisters rushed forward when they saw her, but Julia couldn't move as if she was paralyzed. Adrian's gaze was cold and indifferent, and it wasn't until Vivian ran up to him that he saw the blood on her forehead and his expression softened slightly. "Why did you come down?" Vivian glanced at Julia and gave her a look, then said in a somewhat flustered tone, "While I was upstairs just now, it seemed like there was conflict with Assistant Brandt. I heard that Assistant Brandt got angry and left, so I wanted to come down and take a look, and also apologize to him on behalf of everyone." After receiving her look, Julia quickly left. Vivian sighed and said, "Adrian, I'm sorry. You left Assistant Brandt here to help me, and my friends treated him like this. It's really my fault." Adrian silently looked at her without saying a word. Adrian was naturally cold in temperament, and when he looked at you silently without speaking, it made you feel like you were in an icy cave. Just like now, as Vivian apologized and explained, Adrian remained silent, looking at her like he saw through all her pretenses. How could that be? Could it be that Eva said something false to him? Thinking of this, tears welled up in Vivian's eyes, her long and curly eyelashes blinked, and tears rolled down her cheeks. She gently pulled at Adrian's clothes, pitifully saying, "Adrian, you're not speaking, are you mad at me? Today, in the private room. I didn't stop you in time and let you down, right? But Adrian, it wasn't that I didn't want to stop her, I just didn't expect Julia to say those things. I'm really sorry, please don't be angry with me, okay?" Adrian glanced at her tightly holding his fingers, then looked at Vivian, who was crying with a pitiful and tearful appearance. She had been crying, which should have made him feel sorry for her, but for some reason, another face appeared in Adrian's mind. That face had completely different features from the person in front of him, delicate and three-dimensional, especially those cold eyes. When she wanted to cry, her tears almost filled her entire eye sockets, but not a drop fell. Finally, her eyes turned red from suppressing the tears, and then she would stubbornly turn her back, hiding all the tears from him. Adrian suddenly realized something. He still remembered when she used to cry loudly in front of him, with tears and snot running down her face. There were even times when she would lightly pull his clothing, looking pitifully at him, sniffing her nose, with red eyes. When did it start? She no longer shed tears in front of him and hid all of her tears. Adrian finally understood why he always felt lonely in his heart, because Eva and him now had a deep barrier between them. She no longer saw him as someone she could share any emotions with. "Adrian, are you really angry with me?" Vivian's gentle voice brought him back to reality. Adrian regained his senses and looked at Vivian, who had tears streaming down her face. He pursed his lips and asked, "What happened tonight?" Hearing this, Vivian was taken aback. "What?" Adrian's gaze moved up slightly, his tone short, "Your injury? What happened?" "Her injury?" Vivian was a bit surprised at why Adrian suddenly brought up this question. Didn't her friends tell him that it was Eva who pushed her? Vivian realized that she couldn't guess Adrian's thoughts now. However, since he came back this time, his emotions seemed to be different, and Vivian had to maintain her kind image, so she could only tentatively speak, "Don't blame Eva for what happened tonight. Although it may leave a scar in the future, I can only accept it myself. If I had been more stable tonight, I wouldn't have fallen." Adrian lowered his eyes and looked at her with a heavy expression. For some reason, Vivian felt a little scared being stared at by that kind of gaze. "Adrian. So, what you mean is she pushed you, right?" "Vivian." Perhaps she didn't expect Adrian to dig into the root of the matter like this, so she didn't know how to answer for a moment. Her friend stepped forward and answered on her behalf, "Mr. Blackwood, it was Eva who pushed her, otherwise Vivian wouldn't have gotten hurt so badly. Upon hearing this, Adrian's expression became even colder. He squinted his eyes and dangerously looked at that person. "Did you see it happen?" The girl was immediately silenced by his icy gaze. "I?" Adrian sneered, "with your own eyes." The girl glanced at Vivian and dared not speak further. "What with your own eyes?" The situation was so chaotic at the time, no one actually saw anything. She was just standing on Vivian's side. Adrian's attitude made everyone afraid to speak. Even Vivian was dumbfounded. She originally thought that Adrian would stand by her in this matter, but she didn't expect him to be so serious. Was he doubting her, or did he simply not want Eva to suffer? Thinking of this, Vivian swallowed a mouthful of saliva and gently bit her lower lip, speaking softly, "Adrian, don't blame Eva. It's all my fault. I didn't stand properly and was careless." Upon hearing this, Adrian's gaze finally returned to her. The corners of his straight lips tightened again and he nodded. "If you know you were careless, then be more careful next time." Chapter 96. I'm here. Vivian was stunned, and the color on her face gradually vanished. She never expected Adrian to say this. What does he mean by saying that if she knows she was careless, she should be more careful next time? So, does he now think that it's her fault that she fell like this today, and it has nothing to do with Eva? And he doesn't plan to hold Eva accountable, does he? No, she shouldn't think about these things at this moment. What she should be thinking about now is why Adrian had such a change of heart after he went out and came back. It must be because Eva said something to him, right? Thinking of something, Vivian's face instantly turned pale. In that instant, Vivian couldn't care about anything else and suddenly threw herself into Adrian's arms, crying softly. "I'm sorry, I remember what you said. It's just that the wound hurts so much, and the doctor told me it would leave a scar, which made me really confused and upset. Adrian, where did you go just now? Did you hear that my forehead will scar? Will you reject me because I'm ugly?" The woman in his arms made Adrian's heart even more restless. He furrowed his brow slightly and subconsciously wanted to push Vivian away. But Vivian held him even tighter and asked in a sobbing voice, "Do you know why I was willing to sacrifice my own life and save you when we were children?" Upon hearing her words, Adrian's hand froze. Childhood memories always touched the softest spot in his heart. Tears welled up in Vivian's eyes as she buried her face in his chest, embracing his skinny waist tightly. "Because I couldn't bear to lose you, Adrian. Don't leave me, okay?" Adrian lowered his gaze, looking at the woman in front of him. Recalling how she jumped into the river, disregarding her own life and death, to save him when he was struggling and drowning. It takes immense courage that not everyone possesses. To gain such attention from her, one must hold great value to her. Adrian's tender heart was moved, especially since she actually saved his life. Considering this, Adrian gently patted her shoulder that his hand finally fell on. "Don't overthink it, I'll take you back and let you rest." Noticing that his tone had softened, Vivian breathed a sigh of relief in her heart. Indeed, bringing up the fact that she saved him was effective. Fortunately, she had this card to play. From this perspective, Eva is not useless. If it wasn't for her sacrificing her life and jumping into the water to save Adrian, Vivian would never have jumped in to save him, and by the time she found someone to help, Adrian might have already drowned. But because Eva saved him, Adrian not only didn't die, but she also gained the title of his savior. Killing two birds with one stone, Vivian smirked discreetly where no one could see her. Back in the hospital room, the doctor came over to treat her wounds again and gave her some advice. Vivian couldn't help but feel sad and upset when she thought about the scar that would be left on her forehead. "Doctor, will it really leave a scar?" The doctor, a middle-aged man, sighed at her pitiful appearance. "The wound is quite big, so it's unlikely that there won't be a scar. If it bothers you, we can explore options for treatment after the injury has healed. Otherwise, you can style your hair to cover it up, which will also serve as a barrier. Vivian already had bangs because her forehead wasn't very full or beautiful, so she could only let her wavy hair cover it up, enhancing her forehead and appearance. Even if she ended up with a scar, her bangs could indeed conceal it. However, this didn't mean that she could tolerate this scar. So, after the doctor left, Vivian started crying to Adrian again. "Adrian, the thought of having a scar makes me so sad. Do you think I will become ugly if I have a scar in the future? Will you despise me and reject me?" Adrian's thin lips moved, but he couldn't give Vivian a single answer to her questions. In the end, he could only say, "Rest for now and let your wound heal." Not hearing the response she wanted, Vivian felt deeply disappointed. As she lay down, she even thought, could it be that in these 2 years, Adrian has fallen for Eva? No, he was the man she set her eyes on, and she would never let him go. She had to make full use of the favor he owed her and redirect all his attention back to herself. When Eva woke up, she felt dizzy and had to lie down for a while. Suddenly, she felt extremely nauseous and had to crawl to the bathroom sink, where she dry-heaved for a long time. Finally, her body felt weak, and she leaned against the door of the bathroom. Why did she suddenly vomit so severely? Eva lightly placed her hand on her lower abdomen with some concern. Hopefully, the baby wouldn't be affected. After resting for a while, Eva got up, drank some warm water, and called her best friend, Emily. Once Emily heard about Eva's severe vomiting, she immediately said, "You should take the day off today, and I'll accompany you to the hospital." "Yes, that's what I plan to do." After hanging up the phone, Eva originally wanted to ask Adrian for leave, but she hesitated and decided not to contact him. Instead, she contacted Jenny and told her that she had something to do today. She asked Jenny to wait a little longer and inform Adrian on her behalf when he was back at the office. When Jenny received Eva's message, she had just woken up and was still yawning. But when she saw Eva's message, she suddenly became wide awake. After a while, Jenny suddenly realized that Eva had asked her to take a leave on her behalf. Why didn't she ask Mr. Blackwood directly? Could it be because of that Vivian again? Definitely. Jenny angrily gripped her phone and couldn't help but curse. This scumbag Mr. Blackwood. How dare he bully my sister Eva? I won't let him off. In the crowded subway, Emily turned her head to worryingly look at Eva by her side. She was leaning there, her pale complexion adding a touch of brokenness to her beautiful face. Her lips are very pale, which indicates that she has endured a lot of torment. Emily had heard before that some pregnant women have a tendency to vomit and can vomit severely. Although she hadn't witnessed it firsthand, she could imagine the discomfort of having her stomach turn upside down. Now it seems that her best friend is going through something like this. Morning sickness, and not just the usual kind, she is vomiting so much that her face has turned pale, as if she were sick. Emily felt worried and took hold of her hand. Eva opened her eyes and looked at her. "Don't worry, I'm here," Emily said with determination, squeezing her hand and transferring her warmth to her. Eva smiled slightly at her and couldn't resist leaning towards her. Upon seeing this, Emily immediately adjusted her posture, turning her shoulder to provide support for her. Eva rested her head on Emily's shoulder, relying on her for all her strength. "Thank you, Emily. Having a true best friend is really wonderful." Chapter 97. Evil gets its reward. Upon arrival at the hospital, Emily took care of all the registration and payment matters while Eva, feeling unwell, curled up in the corner on a chair, waiting for Emily to finish and come to her. Seeing Eva's unwell complexion, Emily became increasingly worried. "Are you okay? How can being pregnant make you feel so sick?" After speaking, Emily reached out to check her forehead temperature. After confirming that she didn't have a fever, Emily finally felt relieved. As she didn't have a fever, it was probably just due to discomfort from morning sickness, without any other issues. Eva subconsciously rubbed her palm against Emily's hand and chuckled lightly, "Actually, I'm fine. I just feel very sleepy and don't feel like eating when I'm nauseous. I just crave sweets." "Sweets? Even during normal times, you shouldn't eat too many sweet things, let alone during pregnancy. We'll ask the doctor later." Upon Emily's suggestion, Eva nodded, "Okay." Looking at Eva, who agreed to any proposal at this moment, Emily felt that she had become obedient to an extreme degree, reminiscent of their childhood days. Emily found Eva's current demeanor to be somewhat cute, yet also pitiful. It was as if behind the pretense of happiness was hidden loneliness, and behind the obedience and compliance was hidden frustration. Eva probably kept all these feelings buried deep in her heart. Initially, all these things should have been taken care of with Adrian by her side. But now, Adrian was probably at the hospital accompanying another woman. Thinking this, Emily's throat tightened and she couldn't help but reach out and rub Eva's head. "Don't worry, no matter what happens, I will always be there for you. That damn Adrian, he better not regret it in the future." Emily cursed Adrian 100 times in her mind. The two of them spent nearly an hour at the hospital for examination. By the time they left the hospital, it was already noon. Already feeling unwell and having spent the whole morning at the hospital, Eva's complexion had become even worse. Emily supported her by holding her arm and let her lean against her. "Luckily, you're not sick. Otherwise, I would have been so worried about you. Let's find a place to eat something." With a listless expression, Eva replied, "Okay, let's eat dessert." Emily was speechless for a while before finally saying, "We can eat dessert, but did you listen to what the doctor advised? Even if you like it so much, you still can't eat too much, especially considering the subsequent indicators." After being scolded by Emily, Eva could only helplessly lower her gaze. "I know, but I still want to eat." Seeing her like this, Emily could only sigh inside. "Well, then. Today, I'll make an exception and accompany you to eat, but you have to be careful afterward, all right? Listen to the doctor's instructions, got it?" "I know." Her voice was soft, somewhat childlike. It was both adorable and heartwarming. However, Emily still pursed her lips and looked worried. During this period, every time she met with Eva, it seemed that Eva could control her emotions very well. But Emily deeply understood that just because certain emotions weren't expressed didn't mean they didn't exist. Just like Eva's inner pain, will it disappear on its own if it is not expressed? No, it won't. Emily knew that those things would only accumulate more and get deeper in some place. And then one day, they would explode. Emily couldn't predict when this day would come. She glanced at Eva and guessed that even Eva herself didn't know when these emotions would explode. With the current situation, Emily only hoped that Eva could leave this place, leave Adrian, before her heart was broken. So, during their meal, Emily couldn't help but ask, "Although I know it's not the best time to ask you this, I still want to know, when can Granny Blackwood have another surgery? She is no longer in a nursing home, right?" "Yet." Eva didn't mind Emily asking her these things. After all, she was her only close friend, and she had nothing to hide from her. "She's receiving care at home, but the exact timing for the surgery is not yet set. Because of what happened when she fainted last time, the doctors believe that her mentality still needs adjustment. They hope to give her a little more time to avoid causing additional stress." Hearing this, Emily couldn't help but sigh. "So, this matter will be delayed." "Yeah, Granny's condition is important, so it's all we can do." Emily was not Eva, so she wouldn't consider things from Eva's perspective, only from her own. So, to her, Eva was the most important friend. Realizing this, she spoke softly, "Granny Blackwood's condition is important, but your situation is important too." She pursed her lips and finally expressed her concerns. "I'm actually worried that people from Vivian's side might harm you. After all, something happened last night that showed the strong resentment Vivian's people had towards Eva. It was understandable considering Eva had been by Adrian's side for 2 years. But no matter how strong their resentment was, what did it matter?" To Emily, these emotions seemed unreasonable. Eva was not a mistress, and Vivian was not with Adrian. Why should they resent Eva? The more she thought about it, the angrier Emily became, and her eating became more forceful. Eva, sitting opposite her, noticed her actions and smiled helplessly. "All right, Emily, I know you care about me. Rest assured, I have a sense of measure." "Humph, just because you have a sense of measure doesn't mean others do. Not everyone has good principles and qualities. Otherwise, something like what happened last night wouldn't have occurred. Speaking of which, how is Vivian doing? She had fallen so hard, has she become disfigured?" Upon mentioning this, Eva's eyes narrowed slightly, and her tone became lighter. "Not disfigured, but I heard she got seriously injured. She should have scars." "Scars?" Upon hearing this, although Emily knew it was immoral, she couldn't help but laugh. "If she has scars on her face, is she now ugly? Vivian brought this upon herself, didn't she? She must be regretting it now." Originally, Emily felt relieved when she heard about Vivian getting scarred because she stood up for her friend. It turns out that karma is real. Even if she tries to blame Eva for it, what does it matter? She has now disfigured herself, and no matter how many people she tries to frame, she can't go back to how things were before. What if she holds a grudge against you for this and continues to frame you? The more Emily thinks about it, the more she worries for Eva. "No, no, I think she will definitely hold a grudge against you. Even if she doesn't, the people around her might, and if she resorts to using others as a scapegoat." Just thinking about it makes Emily break out in a cold sweat. Hold a grudge? After hearing Emily's words, Eva also falls into deep thought. Chapter 98. Seeing clearly. Previously, she and Vivian had made a verbal agreement because both parties had their own demands. But now, it seems that their relationship will turn sour because of this incident. Regardless of whether Eva pushed her or not, Vivian would probably blame herself for this situation. It seems that peaceful coexistence is impossible for the future. Most importantly, after this incident, Eva realized that she should be wary of Vivian. She is far different from what Eva had imagined at first. Initially, Eva thought that Vivian only loved acting like a lady and pretending to be weak in front of others. This was nothing, as everyone wants to have a good image in front of others. But if beneath that facade of fragility lies a malicious heart that schemes against others, then it becomes a completely different matter. Thinking of this, Eva said to Emily, "Don't worry, I will protect myself, and you see, she tried to harm me this time, but it ended up backfiring on her instead." "That's right," Emily nodded, "karma always finds its way back. It sounds quite satisfying." "Yeah," Eva agreed. Just as they finished their conversation, a waiter brought another dessert to Eva's table. Emily noticed and widened her eyes in astonishment. "Oh my God, when did you order another dessert without me noticing? Eva, did you not take the doctor's advice seriously? You shouldn't eat too much." "I know, I'll just take a couple of bites," Eva tried bargaining. "No, you just had one serving earlier." "Just one bite," Eva continued to negotiate. "No. Absolutely not," Emily said firmly. After having lunch, the two of them went to the mall to do some shopping and didn't return home until late. Eva had kept her phone on Do Not Disturb mode throughout the day. It was only when they arrived home that she turned off the Do Not Disturb mode. She saw several messages from Jenny, All of them work-related. She replied to each one seriously, and after finishing, she noticed that Adrian had also sent her a few WeChat messages. The first one said, "Where did you go?" The second one came half an hour after the first, probably because she hadn't replied, so Adrian called her. "Why didn't you pick up the phone?" The third one was in the afternoon, as he couldn't reach her all this time, so Adrian urged her. "Are you angry because of Vivian's matter? Eva, answer the phone, I have something to tell you." After that, Adrian probably didn't send any more messages because he didn't receive a reply from her. Checking her phone, Eva realized that Adrian had called her more than 10 times. Initially, she thought that Adrian hadn't called her after the afternoon, based on the WeChat messages. But she didn't expect that there were actually more than 10 calls, with the most recent one being 15 minutes ago. Eva didn't anticipate this. Just as she entered the house, before she could say anything, the butler hurriedly approached her. "Madam, you're back." The butler looked anxious as he scanned Eva from head to toe, making sure she was safe and seeing the shopping bags in her hands. Only then did he breathe a sigh of relief. "What happened?" Eva asked. Eva asked softly, "What's the matter, sir?" As she spoke, the butler took the initiative to step forward and carry her bags. "Madam, did you go shopping today?" "Yes, it's been a long time since I last went shopping, so I decided to go for a walk." In reality, she went to the hospital today and was away from home all day. If she didn't bring back some things, she would feel guilty when someone asked her what she was doing. Shopping would be the best answer, and with so many bags, others shouldn't suspect anything. "I see. Madam, why didn't you answer the phone? Mr. Adrian called you multiple times and was very worried." "Very worried?" Eva's lips curled imperceptibly, a hint of mockery flashing in her eyes. The choice of words. If she didn't know that the butler always speaks well of Adrian, she would have really thought that Adrian was really worried sick because of her. The phone calls were probably made while he was in Vivian's hospital room, right? "I had the do not disturb mode on before I went to bed last night, and I forgot to turn it off," Eva explained in a soft voice. Upon hearing this, the butler's face lit up as if he suddenly understood. When the butler was about to take the shopping bags from her, Eva said, "There's no need for you to carry them. I'm just going upstairs to organize everything, I can carry them myself." "Madam, let me carry them upstairs for you." "No need, I can manage on my own." Eva declined the butler's offer and carried the bags upstairs. The butler stood in place, awkwardly scratching his head, and just as he was about to call Adrian, his phone rang. "Sir, yes, madam just came back." Eva, who was already climbing the stairs, heard the butler's report and pulled a hint of mockery at the corner of her lips. He really cares about her. Constantly tracking her phone calls, if you have the ability, come out of the hospital room and say it. Eva didn't turn around and carried the bags upstairs. Because she had to organize things, Eva didn't rush to take a shower. She unpacked the bags and first gave the gifts prepared for her grandmother to her. Then she planned to go back and organize the rest. Apart from being a good excuse, the main reason Eva went shopping was because she wanted to buy some loose-fitting clothes. Before getting pregnant, her clothes were all fitted styles. Even though her belly was still small, even if she wore fitted clothes, it wouldn't be noticeable. However, she had to plan ahead and slowly replace her wardrobe so as to avoid drawing attention. Luckily, it was winter right now. Eva put the clothes in a basket. As she planned to take them downstairs to give them to the maid, she almost bumped into Adrian, who was going upstairs. Adrian quickly stopped and leaned against the wall, his breathing unsteady as he stared at her. Eva didn't expect him to come back so soon, and her eyebrows furrowed slightly. "You." Before she could finish her sentence, Adrian grabbed her shoulder, and then she heard him gasping as he asked, "Where did you go? Why didn't you answer my calls? Do you know how long I've been looking for you?" His grip was tight, right on Eva's arm. Instinctively, she frowned and tried to break free. "If you're angry about what happened last night, then..."
"I'm not angry,"
Eva interrupted him, her voice firm. He loosened his grip on her shoulder and took a step back. With the basket in her hand, Eva calmly explained, "I didn't answer the call because I forgot to turn off the do not disturb mode, it wasn't intentional."
"Then you didn't look at your phone at all?"
Adrian narrowed his eyes, clearly not believing it. Eva's expression remained calm, "That's right, I really didn't look at it. I was out all day shopping and didn't have time to check my phone." Adrian then noticed the clothes basket she was holding, filled with the clothes she had bought today. His gaze subtly changed. "As for what happened last night, you don't have to keep dwelling on it, I've already figured it out." Upon hearing this, Adrian narrowed his long eyes and stared at her intensely, "Figured out what?" Eva smirked, "I think you were right, she couldn't handle the situation back then, so she shifted the blame onto me, which was correct." Adrian's pupils contracted. "What did you say?"
Chapter 99.
Keeping a distance.
"It's nothing," Eva smiled and shrugged. "I just thought about things from your perspective, so I understand why you wanted to frame me.
You care for her, so you understood her." As she spoke, Adrian stared at her intently.
"So?"
He clenched his teeth, his eyes turning sinister.
"What I mean is, it's normal for you to put her first," Eva paused, then added, "so I thought about it, and if I were you, I would do the same."
Eva had never been saved from death, nor had she experienced the despair that Adrian went through. But she could think, even though the emotions she was empathizing with were not even one-tenth of Adrian's. But when faced with imminent death, the feeling of suffocating in the next second, and suddenly someone reaching out a helping hand to you, who wouldn't be moved? Adrian's face turned ashen as he stared at her.
"What would you do then?
Are you sure that I would truly frame you?" Eva lowered her gaze, her long and curly eyelashes trembling slightly.
"That's not important."
What was important was that she had already seen through it yesterday. In fact, she should have realized it long ago. If she still held any delusion yesterday, then there was none left after yesterday. She had spent the whole day shopping today, and she only felt calm in her heart. She only wanted to do one thing now. Wait for her grandma to finish the surgery and then leave him.
"Is that so?"
Adrian's lips curled up slightly as he glanced at the clothes she had just bought, and the light in his eyes gradually dimmed.
"If it's not important, then let it go.
Just let it go. Even if it didn't matter, what could she do?" Eva stood in place for a while, and when she lifted her head again, Adrian's figure was no longer there. She blinked lightly and left with her basket of clothes. After that day, Eva and Adrian's relationship entered an entirely different phase. Adrian never mentioned what happened that day. He was cold, but Eva wasn't. She returned to the way she used to be with Adrian before Vivian returned to her home country. In the morning, she would greet him gently and help him tie his tie. She would even pick up the vegetables for him during meals, and at night, she would prepare his bath water. She performed the duties of a wife very tenderly. In the eyes of others, they appeared harmonious as a couple, and their relationship seemed explosively good. Even the butler secretly believed that they had made up. Only Adrian knew that everything Eva did was an act. But she acted so well, like a dedicated actress, impersonating her role for 24 hours. If it weren't for the darkness in her eyes, Adrian might have also believed that they had truly made up. Just like today, after getting up, he put on his coat expressionlessly, tied a tie but hadn't finished when he heard Eva saying, "Adrian, the color of this tie doesn't match." Upon hearing her words, Adrian paused in his actions, then turned his head to look at her.
When no one was around, Adrian's eyes were indifferent, looking at her as if she were a stranger. But Eva didn't mind. She walked over and picked another tie from the box, saying, "This color matches better." Adrian coldly accepted it. "I'll do it," Eva grabbed the end of the tie and volunteered. Upon hearing this, Adrian glanced at her for a moment and then mockingly curled his lips. "Sure." Eva stepped forward and tiptoed to tie it for him. The two of them were very close. Adrian looked down with his eyes, and he could see the fine hair on her fair skin and her light pink lips. There was also a faint, nostalgic fragrance emanating from her that he was familiar with. He knew she never wore perfume, so it must be the scent of her shower gel mixed with a cold scent. As he sniffed, Adrian had the urge to embrace her. Because he used to do it before. But just as he was about to lift his hand, he saw Eva retract her hand, and then she looked up at him and said, "It's done." The ice-cold and indifferent look in her eyes instantly pierced Adrian's heart. All the tender thoughts disappeared in that moment. He sneered and said, "You've worked hard, acting so realistically." Upon hearing this, Eva was initially stunned, but then she casually smiled and said, "It was nothing, it's what I should do." Her reaction was as if throwing a punch onto cotton, neither hurting nor itching. Disdainfully, Adrian withdrew his gaze and walked outside expressionlessly. "Wait," Eva called out to him. Adrian stopped his steps, still not turning around, just standing coldly in place, waiting to hear what she had to say. After contemplating for a moment, Eva finally crafted her words and softly probed, "Has the doctor been in touch with you about Grandma's recent condition?" Initially, Adrian thought she was concerned about Grandma, but when she asked the follow-up question, he had a rough idea of what she meant. He mockingly curled his lips. "Are you in such a hurry?" Not getting angry at his retort, Eva calmly said, "Not exactly in a hurry, I'm just worried that if we delay too long, it won't be good for Grandma's health." Adrian turned around, his eyes coldly staring at her as he spoke, "Are you worried about it not being good for Grandma's health, or are you worried about it not being good for you? Eva, are you so eager to get rid of me? Have you found your next target? Eva." Adrian continued to taunt her, "It was Carter last time, who is it this time? Michael." What was this? Regarding Adrian suddenly mentioning Michael, Eva was quite confused. It made sense for him to suspect Carter, as Carter was previously the person her father tried to match her with. But why did he suspect Michael? Was it because of that hug at the bar that night? But didn't Michael explain everything on the spot? His male pride seemed to be getting too much in the way. Oh well, it doesn't matter. They were her affairs. In any case, she had already decided to leave, there is no need to get entangled with him because of these things. Thinking about this, Eva smiled slightly, "Nobody does, but if you want to think that way, I can't do anything about it." Adrian. Sure enough, she used that tactic to deal with Adrian, and he was instantly speechless, only staring at her with a dark gaze. Eva stood there calmly, allowing him to look at her, seeming really indifferent to whatever he said about her. After a moment, Adrian coldly dropped a sentence. "Eva, I don't care what you think in your heart, but officially, you are still my wife, so it would be better for you to keep your distance from other men and not spread any unpleasant rumors." Upon hearing this, Eva blinked innocently and said, "Unpleasant rumors? The unpleasant rumors in the company, weren't they all caused by you? Friendly reminder, if you don't want these unpleasant rumors to one day reach your grandmother's ears, it would be best for you to also keep your distance from other women." Chapter 100. Just showing some concern. Eva effortlessly pushed Adrian's buttons without showing any emotions and easily made him leave. As he walked away, his face turned as dark as the bottom of the ocean and he slammed the door with a deafening noise. Eva shrugged, after he had left, gently caressed her abdomen, whispering softly, "Baby, Don't be afraid. Don't pay attention to him. When you grow up, you can't be like him. His temper is really bad. After finishing her comments, Eva went to pack her things and get ready for work. Just as Adrian arrived at the garage, his phone started ringing. He was still quite angry with Eva, his face filled with frustration as he took out his phone. However, as soon as he saw the caller ID, all his emotions disappeared, and he answered the call. Dr. Oberlin. The person calling him was Dr. Luke Oberlin, Granny Blackwood's attending physician. Hello, Mr. Blackwood. Dr. Oberlin's voice was just as gentle as the man himself. I am Dr. Oberlin Bin, Granny Blackwood's attending physician. I apologize for disturbing you at this time. I would like to talk to you about Granny Blackwood's recent condition. If it's convenient, could you bring her in for a checkup in the next couple of days? Upon hearing this, Adrian couldn't help but tighten his grip on the phone. Today. Yes, Mr. Blackwood, if possible. All right. After hanging up the phone, Adrian sat in the driver's seat, his thin lips almost forming a straight line. He had initially thought that Granny would need more time to recover, but he didn't expect Dr. Oberlin to call so soon. Is it fate? Before going downstairs, Eva had asked about this matter, and right after she finished asking, Dr. Oberlin called. Does even fate think that things should develop this way? Lost in thought, Adrian saw Eva approaching through the rearview mirror. It was cold outside, and she was wearing a slightly loose blue down coat, paired with a casual off-white sweater and light-colored pants. On her feet were light beige flat sneakers. When did her dressing style change so much? As Eva passed by, Adrian lowered the car window and called out to her. Eva paused and looked at him with her usual expression, asking, "What's wrong?" As soon as Adrian saw her emotionless face, he felt greatly stimulated. He closed his eyes for a moment before saying, "Dr. Oberlin just called." Upon hearing this, Eva, who had initially shown no reaction, had a slight change in her expression. Granny's attending physician. Yes. Adrian locked his gaze on her. Let's find a time to take Granny in for a checkup. Eva had been wondering why Dr. Oberlin hadn't called, but now she realized that the call had come right after she asked about it. Sure, I think Granny has been recovering well recently, and her state of mind should be fine. Should I talk to her or would you like to? Adrian stared at her in silence for a long time. Seeing this, Eva took the initiative and said, "If you're busy, I can talk to Granny." Upon hearing this, Adrian let out a self-mocking smile. "You're in a hurry, aren't you?" Eva replied. "No, I'm not." There was a moment of silence between them. Eva glanced at Adrian's pitch-black eyes and sighed inwardly before saying, "Shall we go tell Grandma together?" Seeing that he still remained silent, Eva blinked her eyes and asked again, "Or do you want to talk to Grandma on your own?" He still didn't speak, only staring at her with his deep, intense eyes. Eva pursed her lips and pondered for a moment before saying, "Well, you can think about it some more. I have to go to work now." After speaking, Eva turned around to leave. "Come here," Adrian called out to her, coldly saying, "We'll go together and talk to her. Get in the car." "Get in the car?" Eva glanced at the passenger seat. To be honest, she wasn't too keen on sitting there. Couldn't she just drive herself? Seeing her standing still, Adrian furrowed his brows and asked, "What? Don't you want to peacefully coexist with me? You won't even get into my car." Hearing this, Eva snapped out of her thoughts and smiled slightly. "No, I was just thinking about when we should tell Grandma." As she spoke, Eva opened the car door and got in. Just as she was about to fasten her seat belt, Adrian's car sped off. Adrian's sudden acceleration startled Eva. When she turned her head, she saw him driving with a sullen face. "Forget it, Eva." As long as Grandma finishes her surgery, you can leave. It's not your concern if he throws a tantrum now. At this crucial moment, remain calm and avoid unnecessary complications. After giving herself a pep talk, Eva managed to suppress her anger and fasten her seatbelt. As soon as she secured her seatbelt, Eva heard Adrian ask, "Why are you dressed like this today?" Eva could handle any other question with composure. But this question made her heart skip a beat. She glanced at Adrian's handsome profile and felt somewhat speechless. She had only made a slight change in her appearance today, and yet he noticed. "What's wrong with the way I'm dressed?" she asked, feigning calmness. "It's not like you," Adrian replied. Eva's breath hitched, and she deliberately retaliated, "What do you mean not like me? Am I only allowed to dress in one style?" "You've never worn this style before," Adrian said. In reality, what Adrian was concerned about was why she suddenly changed her style without his knowledge. Clothing wasn't important, what mattered was that she had changed so much without him knowing. "Oh, I haven't worn it before. Can't I wear it now?" Eva replied expressionlessly. Adrian didn't say anything more. He seemed to be pondering his own thoughts, or perhaps he couldn't be bothered to engage with her anymore. Eva waited for a moment, relieved that he didn't continue the topic. Shouldn't this issue be resolved now? It seemed that in the future, if he noticed any changes, she should just confront him directly. That way, he wouldn't question her. With this in mind, Eva silently made a decision. When they were nearing the company, Eva decided to administer another blow to Adrian, hoping he wouldn't dwell on the issue of her changing style. Then, before getting out of the car, she took the initiative to ask Adrian a question. "How is Vivian's face injury?" Upon hearing this, Adrian paused for a moment and then said in a deep voice, "It's just all right." "Oh. Didn't you say last time that she would have scars on her face?" So, what's the plan now?" The car entered the parking lot, and the surroundings darkened. Eva couldn't see Adrian's expression but knew that after a while, the car stopped and his cold voice sounded somewhat displeased. "What plan?" In reality, Eva wanted to say that if she ended up with scars, "When do you plan on settling this grudge with me?" But the words reached her lips and she swallowed them back. If she spoke, the two of them would probably argue again here. It's better to wait until Grandma finishes her surgery before bringing it up. So, Eva pursed her lips and softly said, "It's nothing. I'm just showing some concern."